Okay. Call this meeting of the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. Minutes from our May 3rd meeting. Had an opportunity to review these.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the April 19th and the May 3rd minutes.
That's right. We have two sets of minutes. That's correct, Mr. Burrows. We have a motion.
I will second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. And so those minutes are approved. I just want to make note of the fact that we have called a meeting of this committee for tomorrow morning at 10:30, and part of what we will discuss now will help us lay out a plan for that meeting.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, can I just advise you and the committee, I will be leaving. I'll be here at 10:30, but I'm probably leaving somewhere, before 11. I'm going to catch a train down to meet some of Parkham and I are going to meet some of the Public Service Commissioners, members of the Public Service Commission.
All right. Okay, very good.
I'll catch a train sometime after 11.
You won't be here tomorrow?
I will be here, but I'll be had to leave, catch a train around 11 o'clock.
As you know, members of the Board of Legislators joined the county executive on Saturday at midday, and together with the other members of the administration, Parks Department, Playland staff, Playland Amusement Park was open for its 82nd season. Just in time for the start of the parade, the sun came out and people were able to get out and enjoy the nice day and the amusements, and the wind kicked up and dried things up pretty nice, so they were off to a pretty good start. However, I also had an opportunity to get around. The place looked pretty good, but I had an opportunity to talk to some of the concessionaires that, you know, operate at Playland. Playland probably, I guess, since 1983, trying to think back as to when Marriott had, and then we concluded our relationship with Marriott. But at least back till 1983, we've had a partnership with concessionaires who have run amusements, rides, food, different items of merchandise, and each season we have had this relationship with concessionaires by contract for them to assist us in the operation of the park. One of the things that was obvious on Saturday was the lockdown, let me put it that way, of probably up to 10 concession sites that are operated by concessionaire Glenn Davis. He's a longtime operator, one of, I think most people would agree, one of the better operators that we've had long-term, going back at least to immediately after Marriott pulled out. Davis has been connected with the park since the time he was a 16-year-old kid, and as a concessionaire since 1983. And so over this period of time, if you roughly calculate, he's paid probably close to $6 million in rent to the county under his contract, always on time, never a hitch. But like everyone else, because of the economy and the weather, ran into tough times last year and finished the season having paid the county $120,000 and still owed them $187,000 on last year's activity.
How much he owed? $200,000, right?
Yeah, and with interest computed at 18% is sitting at $200,000 that he owes Westchester. Glenn Davis's attitude is he owes the money, he wants to pay it, and he's just looking for terms that he can handle based on the reality of his financing. His only business is Playland. So anyway, as I said, his operation was shut down, and we had a day before an opportunity. This committee, represented by me and Gordon Burroughs, had an opportunity to sit down with the attorney and the accountant for Glenn Davis to learn a little bit more about his situation. Simply put, he wants to pay the county. He wants at least a term where he has a chance at doing that. He doesn't want to enter into an agreement where he goes immediately into default because it's unrealistic coming out of the gate. And he also wants the ability to operate. He's all ready to go. He's all fully stocked. And he, like the other concessionaires, was looking forward to a good season where there would be good weather and a good chance at maybe getting some of the business back, maybe some of the outing business, maybe a better gate. But they all approached opening day with this this optimism, and he certainly was just as anxious to get things underway as anyone else. However, he was unsuccessful in being able to make an arrangement on the repayment of the debt, and so his entire operation was locked down. Just one point of view on that: if we're interested in Playland making as much for us as possible, then it's in our interest to have revenue being generated there, either a percentage of it or a contract price that we can collect. Not having him in either position and with closed concession stands doesn't do us any good. Plus, the added point that I think I was very surprised with was he is a long-term operator with a very good record with us, and this is how his situation has been communicated to people at the park, police, and the others. It's almost like a wanted poster. He's not allowed on the grounds. Now,
I think he's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this. I personally feel, and publicly, I think this is uncalled for.
That's embarrassing.
I think the objective here is to, as the county executive has stated, as someone who we know will push for doing things differently at Playland, he has already said that the season's underway. Everything moves now, and everyone is hoping for a good season. And this, I think, is not really an appropriate way to deal with a concessionaire who has had a good record with us and who has basically said, I want to repay you, just give me terms that are realistic. And certainly no one is benefiting from the lockdown of the concessions.
Can you just tell us, if you have it there, what are the concessions that he is responsible for?
He's known as Funtastic. I don't know.
Oh, he's Funtastic.
Yeah, Funtastic.
And what are the things?
Oh, well,
I know it's
probably most of the soda machines.
Soda machines.
And he may have, this is bad, I shouldn't be guessing at this.
Does he have the ski pool?
Yeah, he has different games of chance and that kind of thing.
He had the photo booths, but I think he's gotten rid of the photo booths.
Yeah.
Right.
How much is the total that he owes right now?
$200,000.
He owes $200,000.
Counting 18% interest?
Now, this is very interesting, too. It's $187,000. He paid $120,000. He owes $187,000. The terms that were offered to him originally, a very short term of repayment with an interest rate of 5%. The county then and Glenn negotiated a rate of 4.5%, but they're running 18% on his default payment, his default balance, which I see an inconsistency that I don't understand why we would agree to financing going forward at 4.5%. But we're looking to charge him 18% on what he didn't pay us during a very bad season when he didn't have the money.
Mr. Chairman, do we have a copy of their agreement?
No, we basically what we have is our observations from Saturday with the lockdown. We have this, and we have the benefit of conversations with his attorney and his accountant Friday, as I mentioned before you came in. Gordon and I were able to sit down with these two gentlemen on Friday just to get a sense where everything was. But right now, there is no agreement in place. The 2009 1 year has expired. There was a 2010 originally written, I guess, for $310,000. Then when Glenn realized that he couldn't possibly enter into that, he agreed to give up three concessions. I think that then allowed them to modify the agreement down to $262,000. And so that's what was on the table. I think Glenn would tell us that in a good season that is doable, but that doesn't seem to be the problem. What the problem seems to be is this other agreement that needs to be reached. How long will we allow him to take to repay us the $200,000.
The information we gleaned at this meeting on Friday from, again, the lawyer for Glenn Davis and an accountant who has a long history and knowledge of it, having worked there, his family having worked there, and I guess Glenn Davis having bought the concession stands from his family. But in any event, there was a lot more that, at this point in time, Bill really, I don't think is shared because he's more of a gentleman than I am. He previously met with Kevin Plunkett, Bill Mooney, Joe Stout, and Dan McBride, trying to get this contract extended.
He meaning Glenn.
Glenn, and I guess his lawyer and potentially this accountant. And it didn't go too well. And I don't know. Normally, when I first heard somebody owes the county $200,000, the county doesn't want to enter a contract with them. I said, well, I don't blame the county. Why do I want to enter with somebody who owes us money? But when you hear more from this guy who said, look, I've had these concessions since 1983. I paid yearly, timely. I paid about $6 million during this course of time. This 1 year I couldn't do it. I blame it not only on the weather, but this pay one price, the attendance being really affected, and I believe there are people working on the inside who don't want me to be part of the county anymore. And he went on to say that there's friends of Playland Park who own Westchester Concessionaires Group, Inc., and that Westchester Concessionaires Group, Inc. was allowed access to places that no other vendor was allowed, including but not limited to the kiddie park, and that the observation made by these concessionaires were that this Westchester Friends of Playland Park or Westchester Concessionaires also utilize county employees to build stands and buildings, which I think is way inappropriate. Whether any of this is not true or not, I don't know. But I suggest to Bill that we bring it to our members here and that we start to investigate.
And the deal they have on the table right now?
There is no deal. In fact, the county wanted a 1 year contract to pay back. They said I can't in good faith do it. They offered an 8 year. The county said forget it. Then they came back and said a 5 year, and the county said no, that's too long. So now there's nothing there. There's I don't know how many places you found closed. And
on Saturday Mr. Davis said on Saturday was that the deal.
Did you meet with Mr. Davis on Saturday?
Was he there? I spoke to him on Saturday. That the situation is that they have a 1 year operating deal that's in front of them. I'm sorry, and Joe Stout was like, 1 year operating deal. Since the chairman and myself were sitting or speaking to a concessionaire in the front of Playland, and they were telling us about the real card in picture. Since the commissioner was there on Saturday, I asked him about it. I said, what's the deal with this, with the stop him at the door, right, and see him kind of scenario? And he said he was unaware of that particular scenario. which I've shared with Stout.
Stout was unaware of this?
He said he was unaware of that particular scenario.
Wow. I think that's reprehensible.
Right? With the Carton scenario.
It is like
I think
Neil
that,
Carton.
Right,
have
I
you seen
that
this man?
That the commissioner needs to come in and speak with us and talk to us about that. However, he said the deal on the table that they had on Friday was a one-year operating agreement and a three-year repayment period with a 4% interest rate.
That's not what we heard, right?
I'm just telling you that's what the commissioner said his scenario was, that he could, if he signed that deal, that it wouldn't necessarily go in front, because it still has to go in front of ANC, right, you know, for to accept such a deal. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. Glenn Davis mentioned to me that Funtastic Amusements, Inc., which is his business, was presented with a was presented with a proposal by Commissioner Stout and Dan McBride from Playland, and walked in to a meeting in this building to I guess sign and get it underway, and was presented with another deal by, now the county attorney's office was represented.
John Fico.
Okay, and they wanted this a different term, and they also wanted him to put his personal home up as collateral. And he mentioned to me that that was the first time that has ever been mentioned. His problem in doing that was that the deal that they put on the table was one that he saw immediately that he would go into default with. He can handle about $40,000 a season over and above what his payment would be for the year, in this case $262,000, and he could handle about $40,000 more than that. Anything beyond that, he knew that he would go into default, and he couldn't put his personal residence on the line for that. So he's at a point now where almost out of frustration, he's ready to throw in the towel. And I think all of us can understand that. But I'm getting back to the point of, he's an experienced operator. Everything is moving forward as we have seen it in recent years. It's moving forward in 2010. He's all set. He's all open, ready to go, fully stocked. And there's this lockdown. So we can't get an operating agreement in place that allows him to operate, which doesn't make any sense to me, because we're not going to make any money without having a contract with him.
Well, not if we don't put anything in that place.
Right.
So these things are just locked.
Right. They're just
locked
up.
You can't buy soda. You can't play these games.
Right. Everything's locked up.
But it goes further than that, because remember they closed down the one machine that the county made. Why don't you explain that?
Well, it was last year. Lou Talvey, who owns the boats concession, he had a contract, and he had an expectation that there would be a flow within the park that would get people by in and around his amusement. And the county took some steps in with gates and barriers and things to divert the public in a different way, and now...
Well, that was so you could walk all the way around.
That's what you call it when they close the
Which
park.
Was a great addition.
Right.
At least the people in Rye love it.
But anyway, during the park's operation, they removed some signs and they did some things with the gates that made it very difficult for people to
access
this thing.
Yeah.
So he made the mistake of complaining, and what they did was they locked down a revenue-producing machine in the casino, which I had to call the commissioner on Cape Cod to get him to step in to reverse the decision, because it was a machine that the public was using. It was collecting money. The county, not even Lou, the county would take the gross out of the machine and then distribute to the concessionaire his take. So it was like we were cutting off our own nose. And finally, that machine was unlocked and people were allowed to use it. And when you look at these things individually, they don't make much sense. And if these actions are being taken to pressure people or to gain leverage, I would question as to whether or not it's the smartest move in the world. So here again, we have the question in front of us. Does this committee want to make any recommendation to getting Glenn Davis at least up and running so he can be part of this revenue production for the county in its 2010 season, or not?
Mr. Chairman, two different things. One is that I think it would be fair to do the two things. One is that we probably should have the commissioner and McBride come in and meet with people, and I would suspect that some of that would be, I guess it's not executive session since it was a bill that would do. And I recall that at the beginning of the year, the three concessionaires had an outstanding balance of somewhere around $700,000.
Collectively, that's correct.
Between the three of them at the beginning of the year. Maybe we could also ascertain when those other vendors paid.
Right.
Because I would suspect that it wasn't at the beginning of the year, so they ended the Playland season last year with a debt outstanding to the county of $700,000. Yeah. And the other two vendors, went to the bank and do whatever they could do to secure loans to pay their back dollars. And Mr. Davis was not able to secure that same level of deal. And then to go back and forth, Mr. Chairman, and hear the suggestions from the commissioner, and certainly, we've been supportive as a board overall of the concessionaires. But the other two contract concessionaires were able to do what they needed to do to pay that money back.
Really, the full picture, as I see it, the full picture is this. If we limit it to these three concessionaires, there's three parties that finished in the red. But there's a fourth party that finished in the red, and that's the county. And two of them had personal assets sufficient to bring to the table what they owed. The county finishes in the red and through interfund and budgetary transfers is able to cover its loss. The one party who did not have personal assets sufficient to come in and cover the $187,000, all he had was a will to come in and pay us, just give me terms, was Davis. And I'm glad that the other two concessionaires were able to make good on what they owed. It was a struggle for one. One was able to do it. One it was a struggle for, but he was able to do it. As I said, the county, if the county's lucky that we had places to go through what we do through budget transfers and how we cover within the entire park's budget. Otherwise, we would be showing in the red as well from a disastrous season. So there's a certain degree, I think, of unfairness in singling out Davis right now and saying, well, because you're not able to cover, you're out the window, and we don't even want to work with you. So I think this meeting today to plan out what we want to do immediately, I think, is a good thing. Ken's suggestion about getting the commissioner and Dan McBride in to talk to us, I think that's obviously very important. Mr. Alvarado?
Yeah. In our departmental review with parks, you stated that we want to move away from concessionaires and we want the park, if we are going to continue to have an amusement park, to do that. So I can see why they wouldn't want to get this gentleman the opportunity. But I tell you, I know him, I've seen him, nice gentleman, and politically he's never been helpful to me, so that aside, if we cut his legs, the county is never going to see this money. Unless you want to go take over houses or stuff like that. So at the very least, I think this committee should consider suggesting to the administration that they give him the opportunity to come through, as long as he's not going to generate more debt in the process.
I think what I would suggest, Phil, is that we have the commissioner here and maybe Mr. McBride, and we also invite Mr. Goldman, who's the CPA, as well as, if he wants to appear, Glenn Davis and Glenn Davis's attorney, whose name was Anthony Siano. And maybe if we can get him here,
tomorrow. I know that's short notice, but I don't think they'd be too much of a surprise, because I think when you got all the parties together, maybe we'll really hear what's happening here. Again, I don't know deep down whether the county should be at Playland and Amusement Park. That's another issue. All I know is that I would have originally thought, all right, if we can run the concessions and we can make that money ourselves, that's fine. But I also recognize that we had two rides that the county owned last year, and the two rides, which would have thrown off significant income, were down for great periods of time because I think it's county run. And there's no incentive for the county, or there's no real need to get this thing done right away, where something is owned by a concessionaire, and their business is on the, hey, I got to get this missing part up, because if I don't, I don't make the money. I don't know.
I don't think that's fair.
No, no. I disagree. I wasn't finished with my comment.
Jose and then Judy.
Yeah, please. On the other hand, we should consider the fact that our parks people in Plano are no longer getting along with Mr. Davis and so on and so forth.
Say that part again, I didn't know.
I don't think they're getting along with Mr. Davis anymore, so the relationship is not going to be that great either. So, I mean...
Well, do they meet?
I think so. You know, our people supervise the safety of everything that goes on with anybody there.
He's probably not there, is he?
Oh, he is. Oh, well, he's that's how I know him.
Can I just ask a question? Or going back to what Gordon had said, urging that we have everybody in, I would feel far more comfortable if we could first meet with, I'd really like to hear from Joe Stout, Dan, and Kevin Plunkett, possibly, and Bill Mooney, Jr., just to hear their side. I feel right now like we only know Glenn Davis's side.
Mr. Chair, because it just came in, the agreement that was set on May 3rd to Tony Siano.
Yeah.
That's, who is that?
The attorney for
John Fico.
Yeah.
Mr. Siano, the county is prepared to accept the following terms for repayment of the approximate $202,000 future fantastic debt. 3 years. Repayment can be structured in any creative manner subject to the approval of the county so long as the debt is satisfied within the term. Annual interest at 5% and the collateral is Fantastic's operating equipment will be pledged to the county so that the county will have a superior lien on such items. The county will also have the right of ownership and possession to pledge property in the event Fantastic fails to make payment when scheduled. Foreclosing on the collateral will not be deemed an interference with any license agreement, which that may hereafter be awarded to Fantastic regarding the same equipment. A confession of judgment to be executed by Fantastic, and prior to the county entering into a payment schedule, we would require a credit report, as well as Glenn Davis and Fantastic Inc. federal tax returns for the past 3 years and authorizations to receive the same. County will also obtain a local and New York State lien search of Fantastic and Glenn Davis at Fantastic's expense through a licensed title company located in Westchester County. County advised me, based on the above, if an agreement can be reached between the parties. So that was on May 3rd, right?
So a week ago.
So that was at least a week ago, right? So, Ms. Chair, I think that the right approach is for us to, you know, at least hear directly from the commissioner, but also... and I'm not an attorney, just played one on TV, but I'm looking at my two colleagues that are attorneys, that it sounds like they're in the midst of trying to negotiate some of this particular items, and certainly short of, you know, the chair's prerogative of being involved and saying to the commissioner, we really like to see this supportive thing happening, I would suspect that we would not want to have the attorneys in and Mr. Davis and appear to be negotiating that kind of thing. But certainly, Ms. Chairman, you know, whatever the will of the committee is, I would certainly support.
Yeah, well, I think it's always helpful to get people in and get things down in black and white, because a number of, even in a personal conversation I've had with Davis from my notes, we have a couple of changes here. One, he was under the impression that they were because they asked, they're looking for his residence, and the interest rate on the $200,000 is different here in that memo. So it sounds like they're trying to negotiate something. You kind of got to nail this down. I personally like the idea of the operating equipment being held as collateral rather
better than the house.
Which may be, Mr. Chairman, the reason and rationale, and while it, you know, it seems detestable to us, why they might not have wanted Mr. Davis in the period of time while this was being negotiated to be on the premises and be able to secure.
I'm sure.
Yeah, they could have found a nice.
Without an operating agreement, you really can't have the operator on there. The thing that surprised me was that they weren't able to get to, prior to the opening of the park, a point where they could get a satisfactory operating agreement in place, and also a financing agreement on the default amount that was realistic. I mean, everybody around the table knows it makes no sense to enter into an agreement where the parties know that you're not going to be able to meet the terms of it. Just one point, because I've done some. We had an oversight meeting with Parks. We touched on playland topics that day, and I've done some outlining of some of the things I think we need to handle with respect to playland, including both short term and long term, the long range picture there. Any one of a number of these things is going to require that we get Commissioner Stout and Dan McBride in before us. But I think that this probably pulls the trigger on a much larger review that has to do with something that has been a very prominent over the years, and that's been our partnership with concessionaires. We've had around this table, as some of you remember, discussions about what are the advantages or disadvantages to working with one concessionaire or one manager as opposed to the county just doing it all itself? I know that back when Larry Schwartz was still deputy, we had discussions with Larry about the county's decision with respect to certain rides where it would either defer work or leave things offline that affected the revenue that these rides would generate. And when Larry Schwartz was asked about it, it quite clearly was they didn't want to spend the money. And so the ride was left offline. And that was countered with our position that, hey, wait a minute. When you're dealing with a concessionaire on the contract and the ride goes down, they've got 24 or 48 hours to get that part in and installed, and that ride's got to be up and running. It's all on them, and that revenue starts to flow again. Which is good because it's good for everybody involved, but especially for the operator, because their payment to us remains the same. They still have to come up with their amount for us, but it allows them to start the revenue flowing again, which I'm sure is important from their side of things. But for us, we at least have a major ride, an important ride of the park, not shut down for months. So anyway, I think to take a detailed look as to what the advantages and disadvantages are to having concessionaire partners is important, and that opens up a whole lot of things, not the least of which is our request once again for a very detailed overview of who and what exactly are Westchester concessionaires. We all have bits and pieces of it, but I think we have to get down to the bottom of that because independent of any conversations we've had with Davis or his representatives recently, there's the carryover from last year about some things that made us all uncomfortable with respect to that relationship, and we're still not sure as to whether or not those things have actually occurred. But I think the time has come for us to look into this stuff.
Absolutely,
Mr. Chairman. All with an object really making things better. So anyway, we will move forward at 10:30 tomorrow. I've already talked to the administration about getting people in.
Oh, we're going to see them tomorrow at 10:30.
Well, they've been alerted to the fact that we may be calling them in now, so we go at 10:30. I will now communicate with the administration that we'd like to see both the commissioner and Mr. McBride in. Kevin Plunkett, I don't know, what do you think? He may or may not come to a meeting like that, but if
you think, you don't think we should have the other people? With
I wouldn't do it yet. Let us just listen to them alone, if that's all right.
Well, it's up to the committee.
No.
I think Gordon makes a very good point. I think Gordon and I have a pretty good take on what the position of Davis is, certainly in this. I'm interested in seeing whether or not we can work out something where we can get a commitment from our department and the county attorney and the administration to get things back on track here, at least for this season. You know, no one's saying that we can't explore alternatives going down the road, but the die's been cast for this season. And
Mr. Chair, before you bring them in, would you like? I mean, I'm going to have to print this letter for you. As a matter of fact, there's an update. The commissioner said that he lied. That this is the final version, and the final version was from John Vico on the 6th, and that's the one with 4.5% interest.
So there was one Friday. You saw him on
Thursday was the 6th.
Okay, so he got on the 6th. You saw him on Saturday the 7th?
Friday.
So the 6th. I will have this sent to the committee, to Susan, and to you, Mr. Chairman.
So they make the correction on the interest. Is there any word about insisting on the residence as collateral?
Let's go through it. Repayment of the outstanding balance of $202,000 over 3 years, interest at 4.5%. A one-year license agreement will be offered in as much as the future playland is still under consideration and all newly signed licensees are receiving the same. Annual license flat fee of $262,000 for 2010. County will be responsible for any lien search fee, so that's a change, that as opposed to having it being on Fantastic and him, that the county said that they would do the lien search. The county cannot and will not revoke, withdraw the previously served termination notices, letters. However, if and when a new license agreement is executed, then that agreement and its terms will control and supersede the prior notices. Mr. Davis must consent to allow the county to obtain a credit report before any settlement agreement is finalized. Mr. Davis must execute a confession of judgment to be held in escrow until such time as the outstanding debt on the settlement agreement is liquidated. Mr. Davis must provide copies of federal tax returns for both he and Fantastic for the past 3 years, 2007, 2008, 2009, as well as authorizations for the county to obtain the same. And the proposed settlement agreement must contain unequivocal terms that allow the county to assume possession, ownership, and control of the pledged property without having to formally foreclose on the pledged property in the event Mr. Davis fails to make timely payment on the outstanding balance. The usual clauses addressing the termination for convenience and for cause will remain unchanged in any license agreement between the parties, as those same clauses are in all the playland license agreements. Any settlement and or license agreement agreed to in principle between the parties is subject to the approval by the county's Board of Acquisition and Contract. And please note that the county must know by no later than midday Friday, May 7th, whether or not Mr. Davis will accept the county settlement offer and new license agreement. Please be further advised that should these issues not be resolved by then, the county will take appropriate steps to enforce its right on the outstanding debt and make arrangements for a new vendor to start operations at the subject locations. Thank you for your anticipated prompt attention in this matter. So there's nothing in there about his personal residence.
Yeah, but he had the answer by Friday night at midnight. You guys saw him on Saturday.
We saw him Friday.
We saw him Friday. His point to us was Friday. That it was clear from that he could handle $40,000 a year. Pushing it to 3 years meant that you were probably going to have to pay anywhere from $65,000 to $68,000 a year, and that was
John,
that was the road
again.
It's also all right. I also have to say that it would be my hope, based on what we know to be the very kind of marginal success of Westchester concessionaires thus far at Playland, it would be my hope that the threatened moving in of a concessionaire to replace Davis as an experienced guy with a track record is not Westchester Concessionaires. I would really hope that that's not what the plan is, because their record so far.
Well, ideally, we get our money back. The county gets money back. I just, when I heard what I heard on Friday, again, whether it's true or not, I don't know. I don't know Westchester Concessionaires Group at all. Bill, you seem to have a little bit more knowledge about it.
Yeah, they have not been successful with the sites that have been given.
And when I heard about utilizing county employees to build up certain stands and buildings, and that obviously is very troubling to me. And
it seems to me just this particular thing, Mr. Chairman, and maybe the committee can use this particular point.
Yeah.
I certainly have confidence in the chairman and whatever members that you decide to utilize to speak with the commissioner. I mean, it sounds like they're pretty darn close on their deal. It sounds like there's one piece, which is how much is comfortable, right? From a repayment perspective, and not. Ms. Chairman, I would submit to you that certainly you and whether it's Gordon or whoever else to be able a part of that and say to the commissioner, maybe you got to come up somewhere in the middle. So if it's a 3-year payment versus a 4-year payment,
I really think it probably comes down to with the new county executive here and his at my understanding of what Rob thinks of Playland and the fact that the county is in the amusement park business, maybe more to what you said before, Jose, is they don't want to give more than 1-year concessions because maybe who knows what the existence of Playland is going to be.
The one-year agreement...
That's one thing I did hear from the concessionaire. That even though they've taken a 1-year approach and that's all we're going to do, we did hear, I think, that they've had 3 or 5 year contracts issued with somebody else.
There is one contract that I actually did that research, that there was one contract that came through that was negotiated in the previous administration that did not get signed until this year. But all the remaining, there were three other
years?
Arrangements were for 1 year.
But how many years was that other contract?
The other one was for 3 years.
And it didn't get signed.
No, that one, no, they county, the
is
county.
Is that the tattoo got, concession?
The tattoo thing. Right. Okay. Some tattoo person got a 3-year arrangement, but that was from last year. It was that they had the paper trail that it was negotiated that way, and that's why the county executive signed the contract on there, because I guess it was got approved in ANC prior to the county executive Astorino taking over. But all the new contracts have been for 1 year. All of them. So.
Chair, I'm sorry, I've got to leave.
I know you have an appointment.
10:30 tomorrow, and we're not going to have them. We'll just have the county. We're not going to have the other side.
First go around, let's get the departments and the administration in, see where we are with this thing.
Because I imagine we're pretty much going to hear what we heard from Ken right now. The documents pretty much speak for themselves.
Yeah.
That's why I almost think we're not going to get anywhere.
Well, I'm a little bit alarmed, too, because the acceptance had to be by Friday the 7th.
So what's the status?
So it could very well be that if in effect they've laid out those terms, it was an acceptance because, as the attorney told us, he couldn't very well say to his client, "I advise you to enter into this agreement," knowing that financially you can't generate that payment.
Maybe they have somebody already in mind.
Well,
it doesn't seem that way. It seems that they're trying to do some kind of negotiation. And again, Mr. Chairman, I'm comfortable with you and ones that you have been involved with, or whoever else wants to participate in that.
Well, I wanted to get the whole committee involved with this as quickly as possible so we could lay out today a game plan. The only reason why we're trying to move this along is obviously the ribbon was cut Saturday.
We were there.
And there's money to be spent
Did
and money to be made.
Yes.
He had his county executive Playland shirt on.
Good.
Yes.
He walked next to Coaster.
Yes.
Good.
And he coasted in trip.
Take care, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Gordon.
Mr. Chairman, can I raise one other question?
Mr. Rogowski.
I don't even know if it's jurisdiction this committee, but some of you may have seen an article in today's paper about the promenade in Portchester that's declared unsafe.
Yeah.
If you recall the deal, the county entered into a 20-year lease. The county is paying $800,000 a year to the developer leasing that promenade on behalf of all the residents of Westchester. I don't know who goes over there. Well, now it's closed. So the questions are, does the county get it, you know, stop paying the $800,000, and whether it's the village or the contractor's responsible, but the county, but I don't know if that, with that jurisdiction, with this committee and budget, where, I mean, it's not really our public works project, so I'm not quite sure.
It might even be a government operations.
Marty, you should issue a letter and with the issue.
Maybe it's budget, because it's quite a meaty question. Should we keep paying? Maybe should we stop paying our rent?
Yeah, it's silly.
We're not.
I don't even know what the promenade is.
It goes from Costco all the way on the water down to the Willett House.
It's pretty.
Yeah. But we're paying $800,000 a year, and if it's closed down, then maybe.
You know where I had lunch the other day? Terry Lodge. That's it.
I haven't been there yet.
Where's that?
Right there. Right near the Willett House. Yeah. It's
It may not be this committee. Yeah.
Mario
Patel. Right, just issue the memo, put it through the proper process, and have them assign it to budget.
This is just very quickly, just so you can start thinking about some of these things. We've got we have some very basic things, because we're charged really with the substantive side of these questions. The long range future of Playland Amusement Park with rides and foods and merchandise, a passive park as an alternative, basically, you know, that kind of stuff, with some obviously gardens and walkways and that kind of thing, some kind of mixed use with a tremendously scaled back amusement piece. Mm-hmm. There was a discussion 1 year about what if you just had the historic rides and the Dragon Coaster and everything
and the
else.
Kiddies.
Right, was kind of gone from the site. So there's a number of different pictures that we probably have to consider at some point. We have short range. We have the 2010 season underway. We have the 2011 season. That's a big question mark. And so there's an assessments timeline that has not been shared with us yet. So we're going to have to either have input into that or get them to tell us what kind of timeline they're doing or what's involved in the timeline. On the whole question of a continuation of as an amusement park, our concern for who owns what. We know we own the land, but beyond that, structures and rides and amusements, the food, merchandise booths, vending machines.
Debt.
Who exactly owns all of this stuff?
We have a lot of debt on those rides.
Let me make a note of that, too.
Remember all those bonds
right.
were approved?
On the rides.
Yeah, if you shut it down, its limit cost is like $3 million.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly, because you got to pay, unless you can sell the bonds.
Who's operating what? Westchester County departments, I mean, the concessionaires. And with respect to this partnership, who are these people? Not only Trehannes and Tolvey and Glenn Davis, but who in fact are Westchester concessionaires? What do they do? Who's their board? Who's their leadership? Who's their day-to-day management? What employees do they have? Because one of the big serious issues that was raised was that if they don't have these things and county people are just filling in, they're an independent entity separate from the county. And so when you have all of the functions that a concessionaire must carry out, but Westchester Concessionaires is accomplishing these things using county people, that could present a real problem for the county. So I think we, you know, it's no time like the present to start looking into some of this stuff. On the point of concessionaires, advantages to Westchester, disadvantages to us, all the issues involving revenues, expenses, performance responsibilities under the different arrangements. There's all sorts of things. But these are the types of things I think we have to lay out what exactly our agenda for review is going to be and then start to go through some of this stuff. And there's going to be a whole lot of mix of substantive issues with financial considerations, and I think we'd be in a better position to participate with budget when budget takes up the finances of the operation and how we would be affected depending on what the future holds. So.
And I had mentioned to you, I don't know if you got a chance to look through your emails, but there was a report that was emailed to us from the...
Judy mentioned this to me this morning.
What's his name? DiNapoli.
Right.
His office did an audit of the golf courses. Mm-hmm. And, boy, if there is ever a case for privatization, this report makes it.
Really?
It shows that the two that are privatized, the two that have, that somebody else is managing, mm-hmm. provides a much larger profit, greater than the national average, whereas the ones that the county runs have a very minimal profit, if not a loss, greater, far below the national average.
But that's not what the commissioner reported. The commissioner,
I know,
reported,
but this is what they found out, and it's apparently the way they've been accounting.
Mm-hmm. Judy, can you get us that report along with our support letter and put her in that communication and get it into budget and bring them and have them answer?
It's too late for today, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We don't have to do it right away. There's another decision needs to happen. But as a communication, and if you want me to put my name along with it, just in support of using what you're suggesting here.
Bill, can I ask, the master plan for Playland that was done a couple years ago, was there an assumption in there that Playland would exist, and given its existence, different things, or is there something in there, one of the options was it shut down?
No.
I mean, can you help us at all?
And you know what? We never approved that master plan.
But if one of the working assumptions was that it's operating, well, then you know, it's not as good. I was just curious. I forget what the various options were. Did they look at the possibility of scaling it back and you know, shutting it in? Well, then...
They made some recommendations that they've done, shifting things around.
And, you know, that's was done. We spent money on it.
But, you know, we never approved. We never, bought into it.
Yeah. Well, we just looked at bits and pieces of it.
It was presented, yeah.
But, I mean, that money was spent. If it was any validity to it, you know. But, again, if it didn't look, assuming the new administration, one of their options is, as I say, making some major, major changes there. I was just curious if the master plan looked at that also.
Well, let's pull it up and take a look.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so let's get together tomorrow. And
Mr. Chairman, I'm having a hard time getting here tomorrow, and I'm hoping that you do have a forum for special purposes. I was asking.
You do have?
I don't know.
I'm here. Okay. I can be here. You cannot, though, right, Marty?
I'm leaving here a little before 11, going out to the city.
Okay. So we'll try to. Let's try to start.
We're meeting at 10:30.
All right. Okay. All right. No further business. That's the date of motion.
Are you coming tomorrow? Second.
Move second. And this meeting is now adjourned.
You know the legislator? I got one here for you. You want to be a legislator?
Oh, welcome.
He's going home.
No, I haven't been.
Legislator
or a judge?
At the end of a lawyer. Lawyer is the answer.
Oh, I thought
you could be a legislator.
You could be a Marine.
No, a band from Marine, too.
Oh, band?
Air Force or Navy.
Oh, okay.
I want the safe ones.
Navy SEAL.
Navy SEAL?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay.
Legislator Myers?